Zaffer Books presents The Glasgow Girl at War, written by Eileen Ramsay and read by Helen McAlpine. Stay tuned after the audiobook for an exclusive sample from Eileen's heartwarming saga, The Crofter's Daughter. This audiobook is brought to you by Memory Lane, a special community for the very best saga writing. Join us today at memorylane.club. Prologue, 1933, Edinburgh. Blair knew it was not going to work. Ferlith could exert herself until she was blue in the face. Mother had set her mind, and more importantly her heart, against her. Grimly he kept smiling, while his heart crumbled into little bits inside him. What could he do? He loved his mother who, since his father's tragic early death in the Great War, had devoted her whole life to him. And yet, at the same time, and with an even fiercer passion, he loved the girl who was so bravely fighting a losing battle against the tide of inexplicable antagonism that flowed across the room towards her from the tiny but oh so elegant figure of his mother. Ferlith soldiered on. He knew her so well. He could see how near to tears she was, and her soft West Coast accent got stronger and stronger as she struggled against the clipped vowels of the older woman.
"Do you know, Mother?"
Blair was determined to help.
"One of our professors says he wouldn't doubt that one day Ferlith might well be Lord Chancellor."
"Oh, Lord Advocate would be enough," laughed Ferlith. But Blair's mother did not smile.
"In my day, girls stayed at home to look after their families."
"But I have no family," said Ferlith quietly, "and so I must earn a living."
"Shall we have lunch?"
In four seemingly neutral little words, Helena Crawford managed to convey her dislike, her distrust, her implacable opposition to this girl. Why? Why? What had Ferlith done? Or was it what Ferlith was? No, it would never work until Mother was forced to see that unless she accepted this working-class girl from a Glasgow orphanage, she would lose her son too.
"I can't give her up," Blair decided, as he sipped a very fine pre-lunch sherry.
Sometimes, his feelings for Ferlith frightened him. Since that day 2 years ago, when he had walked into the large lecture hall in the university and seen her standing there like a terrified rabbit caught in the gaze of a headlight, she had been more important than eating or sleeping, and far more important than his studies. She was part of him, and how it had happened he could not understand. Their backgrounds were so different. He was privileged. Nannies, governesses, servants who anticipated every wish of the fatherless little boy, Eton, but not Oxford. He had never worked hard enough. Why should he? He had inherited an estate and the fortune to support it on his 18th birthday. He had never wanted anything enough to work for it. Not until Ferlith. And why Ferlith? She had inherited nothing on her 18th birthday. There had been nothing to inherit. She had been brought up in an orphanage in Glasgow, where one of the sisters of the religious teaching order had recognised her not inconsiderable brain and had fought for the girl's right to further education. Who her parents were and why she had been in the home Ferlith did not know. Blair did not care. The skinny girl with the badly cut hair, the obviously second-hand clothes and the bitten nails was his future. He was not given to introspection. He marvelled at the kismet that had made Ferlith as familiar to him as the skin on his face, and he accepted his fate. Ferlith did not at first approve of his plan, the simple but so obvious little plan that had occurred to him somewhere between the sherry and the port his mother had insisted on offering him, because
Grandpapa always had port, dear.
"We can't, Blair. It's against everything I've ever been taught to respect. We'll wait. She'll come round when she sees how much we love one another." Blair's heart gave a sickening lurch inside him. Dear God, how he wished that were true.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?